First Certificate Practice Tests Plus. 2. By Diana L. Freed Booth. Published by Longman. Cassette 1, Side 1. Test 1. Now open your question paper and look at Part 1. You will hear people talking in 8 different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. 1. You hear a radio announcement about a transport problem. What is the problem to do with? A. The railways. B. The airports. C. The roads.
Now, if you're planning on making a quick getaway this weekend, you may want to rearrange your plans. As if it wasn't difficult enough last weekend, with the train strike and the fog delaying flights midweek, there are a number of motorway repairs being carried out over the next few days, which are bound to affect journey times. So, for more detailed information, phone the travel hotline on 0800... Now, if you're planning on making a quick getaway this weekend, you may want to rearrange your plans. As if it wasn't difficult enough last weekend, with the train strike and the fog delaying flights midweek, there are a number of motorway repairs being carried out over the next few days, which are bound to affect journey times. So, for more detailed information, phone the travel hotline on 0800...
2. You hear a man being interviewed on the radio. What is the topic of his new book? A. Insects. B. Flowers. C. Butterflies.
It's a number of years now, Lionel, since you brought out your illustrated book on garden plants. But I know you're very busy with another project.
Yes, I am. When I was researching the book on flowers, I became quite interested in butterflies, and my publisher suggested I should make them the subject of my next book, but I wasn't that keen.
So?
Well, I think it was wandering through the woods looking for plants when I first noticed how fascinating life on the floor of the woodland is. Quite amazing, another world in fact. All kinds of tiny creatures crawling around.
It's a number of years now, Lionel, since you brought out your illustrated book on garden plants. But I know you're very busy with another project.
Yes, I am. When I was researching the book on flowers, I became quite interested in butterflies, and my publisher suggested I should make them the subject of my next book, but I wasn't that keen.
So?
Well, I think it was wandering through the woods looking for plants when I first noticed how fascinating life on the floor of the woodland is. Quite amazing, another world in fact. All kinds of tiny creatures crawling around.
3. You hear a woman talking to her friend on the phone. What has happened? A. Her meeting was cancelled. B. Her meeting was boring. C. Her meeting was difficult.
I mean, you know, I wasn't looking forward to that meeting with the boss. He goes on and never knows when to stop. He never seems to realise that people get really bored when he starts lecturing them. Added to which, of course, I was worrying over how I was going to explain that mistake I'd made. And then, would you believe it, his secretary rings to say he's been delayed and he's decided not to go ahead after all, so I can forget my appointment. I mean, you know, I wasn't looking forward to that meeting with the boss. He goes on and never knows when to stop. He never seems to realise that people get really bored when he starts lecturing them. Added to which, of course, I was worrying over how I was going to explain that mistake I'd made. And then, would you believe it, his secretary rings to say he's been delayed and he's decided not to go ahead after all, so I can forget my appointment.
4. You hear an advertisement for a concert. What is being offered? A. 2 tickets for the price of 1. B. A ticket which includes supper. C. A special ticket price for a family.
Following on from last month's successful family concert, which was a sellout, National Promotions are pleased to announce their new series of concerts beginning in the autumn with a really exciting offer. Whatever price of ticket you purchase, we will match it with a free ticket at the same price. so bring along a friend or one of the family and enjoy a concert for half the normal price. Don't forget to book early if you want to enjoy a candlelit supper before or after the concert in one of our restaurants. For further details, contact our booking office on 474... Following on from last month's successful family concert, which was a sellout, National Promotions are pleased to announce their new series of concerts beginning in the autumn with a really exciting offer. Whatever price of ticket you purchase, we will match it with a free ticket at the same price. So bring along a friend or one of the family and enjoy a concert for half the normal price. Don't forget to book early if you want to enjoy a candlelit supper before or after the concert in one of our restaurants. For further details, contact our booking office on 474...
5. You hear a man talking to a hotel manager. What is he asking for? A. A new suitcase. B. A small lock. C. A spare key.
Can I help you, sir? Would you like the porter to take your suitcase to your room?
No, thank you. I'm afraid I can't get my case unlocked. I usually carry two keys, but I can't find either at the moment, so I wonder if you have one. It's a standard lock, nothing special. I've tried to break it with my penknife without success, even though it's only small. I suppose I could just cut into the top of it, as it's fairly soft material, but then I'll have ruined it and have to buy another one.
I'll see what I can do for you, sir. I know we have some. Just wait a few minutes and I'll have a look. Can I help you, sir? Would you like the porter to take your suitcase to your room?
No, thank you. I'm afraid I can't get my case unlocked. I usually carry two keys, but I can't find either at the moment, so I wonder if you have one. It's a standard lock, nothing special. I've tried to break it with my penknife without success, even though it's only small. I suppose I could just cut into the top of it, as it's fairly soft material, but then I'll have ruined it and have to buy another one.
I'll see what I can do for you, sir. I know we have some. Just wait a few minutes and I'll have a look.
6. You hear an artist talking about a trip to an exhibition. What is she looking forward to? A. To see her work on display. B. To meet some new artists. C. To buy an oil painting.
It's always exciting when a new exhibition opens, especially one where you know some of your own work is hanging. There's also the opportunity to buy some of the work on display. I'm not so keen on meeting new people, but I do like gossiping with friends about the new artists and what they're up to. No more painting in oils for this generation. They're far more adventurous. I love looking at those huge canvases covered with sand, bits of glass and metal. Things that in my day we would have considered to be rubbish. It's always exciting when a new exhibition opens, especially one where you know some of your own work is hanging. There's also the opportunity to buy some of the work on display. I'm not so keen on meeting new people, but I do like gossiping with friends about the new artists and what they're up to. No more painting in oils for this generation. They're far more adventurous. I love looking at those huge canvases covered with sand, bits of glass and metal. Things that in my day we would have considered to be rubbish.
7. You hear a businesswoman at an airport talking to her assistant over the phone. What is the reason for her call? A. She's left her laptop on her desk. B. She's left her diary behind. C. She's left her passport in a drawer.
Hi, Celia, it's me. Yes, I'm at the airport. No, I've got my passport, unlike last time when I forgot it. Look, I'm afraid I've left my diary. No, not the big desk one. The one I keep in my handbag. It's on top of my laptop computer. I know I was going to bring my laptop, but I just couldn't carry anything else. Well, if it's not there, it'll be in the top drawer of my desk. Yes? Brilliant. Can you get here in the next hour? I'll wait at check-in. And thank you. Hi, Celia, it's me. Yes, I'm at the airport. No, I've got my passport, unlike last time when I forgot it. Look, I'm afraid I've left my diary. No, not the big desk one. The one I keep in my handbag. It's on top of my laptop computer. I know I was going to bring my laptop, but I just couldn't carry anything else. Well, if it's not there, it'll be in the top drawer of my desk. Yes? Brilliant. Can you get here in the next hour? I'll wait at check-in. And thank you.
8. You hear a man phoning through an order for a takeaway meal. Where does he want it delivered? A. To his car. B. To his office. C. To his studio.
Hello? My name's Birch. Alan Birch, that's right. Yes, from the studio. Yes, my usual, please. No, hang on. I think I'd like a different topping. Can I have mushrooms instead of onion? I'm sorry, this is a bad line. I can hardly hear you. It's breaking up. What? I'm in my car. Yes. Stuck in a traffic jam. I'm absolutely starving. Look, can you get the boy to go round to my office, opposite the studio, and I'll pick it up from there? Sure, I'll be in my car. If he waits on the pavement outside, I'll pay him when I get there. Great. Thanks a lot. Hello? My name's Birch. Alan Birch, that's right. Yes, from the studio. Yes, my usual, please. No, hang on. I think I'd like a different topping. Can I have mushrooms instead of onion? I'm sorry, this is a bad line. I can hardly hear you. It's breaking up. What? I'm in my car. Yes. Stuck in a traffic jam. I'm absolutely starving. Look, can you get the boy to go round to my office, opposite the studio, and I'll pick it up from there? Sure, I'll be in my car. If he waits on the pavement outside, I'll pay him when I get there. Great. Thanks a lot.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two. You will hear part of a radio interview with a man who is the director of an environmental centre. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part two.
I have with me in the studio today Geoffrey Osland, who is the director of an environmental centre in Mid Wales. Geoffrey, welcome.
Thank you.
Geoffrey, what exactly is an environmental centre?
Good question. Well, I suppose you could say that basically we're interested in protecting the environment, and that means looking at alternative technologies to provide energy for the future.
I'm still not sure I understand. What does the centre do?
It does a whole range of things. We opened 25 years ago, but in the last 10 years we've considerably expanded our activities, and now we have lots of working displays. These displays are built on the site, which we occupy in the heart of the countryside, and include ways to use the sun and wind for power, as well as low-energy buildings and different kinds of farming. We're open to the public all year round, and last year we had over 80,000 visitors. Everyone is welcome. We get casual visitors, tourists, environmental specialists, and lots of school children, especially primary school children, who are doing a project on some aspect of the environment. We also run courses for secondary schools, universities, and overseas students, and these courses are residential, obviously, because people come and stay for short periods of time. Most of the courses last 3 days, although in the summer we run week-long courses.
Goodness, I didn't realise it was such a big operation.
Oh, yes. Altogether, we have accommodation for about 70 people. When I say accommodation, I don't mean a luxury hotel. What we have are wooden cabins, which contain between 2 and 5 beds, and are very simply furnished, although we do have a few single rooms available. There are common rooms for relaxation, with facilities for making drinks. We also grow all our own food, and meals are served in the centre restaurant. As you might expect, we only serve vegetarian food, no meat whatsoever. We don't allow people to bring meat in with them either. But we have an excellent chef who prepares really imaginative vegetarian food, and I've yet to hear anyone complain. The atmosphere is very relaxed and informal, but we do forbid people to smoke in the buildings.
So if I wanted to do a short course, what kind of thing could I do?
It would depend on your interests. You could do one of our general courses on natural gardening. You'd learn about nature, garden wildlife, herbs, climbing plants, and plants which have particular scents or perfumes. Or you could do one of our more specialised courses on waterless toilets.
Waterless toilets?
That's right. It's our most popular course. There's a big demand for it from countries where there are serious water shortages. We have designed a system which does not require water. It's a dry system. Our system helps people use their limited supplies for essential things like washing and drinking, as water is very precious in many parts of the world. Other courses show people how to save forests, birds and animals.
How amazing! It sounds fascinating. Are these courses expensive?
Not really. In order to be fair, we operate a varied price structure which charges people what they can afford. For example, if you're in full-time employment, you pay more than if you're out of work and haven't got a job. And for people who are not able to pay anything at all, we have a fund, which was set up by the centre a few years ago. And this helps us to pay someone's costs, including their travel costs, from home to the centre. So we never turn anyone away, although we can only help a small number of people each year, as we do not make a huge profit.
So, if I want to go on a course, how do I apply?
You need an application form, which you can get by sending a stamp.
You'll now hear part two again.
I have with me in the studio today Jeffrey Osland, who is the director of an environmental centre in Mid Wales. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you.
Jeffrey, what exactly is an environmental centre?
Good question. Well, I suppose you could say that basically we're interested in protecting the environment, and that means looking at alternative technologies to provide energy for the future.
I'm still not sure I understand. What does the centre do?
It does a whole range of things. We opened 25 years ago, but in the last 10 years we've considerably expanded our activities, and now we have lots of working displays. These displays are built on the site which we occupy in the heart of the countryside, and include ways to use the sun and wind for power, as well as low-energy buildings and different kinds of farming. We're open to the public all year round, and last year we had over 80,000 visitors. Everyone is welcome. We get casual visitors, tourists, environmental specialists, and lots of school children, especially primary school children, who are doing a project on some aspect of the environment. We also run courses for secondary schools, universities, and overseas students, and these courses are residential, obviously, because people come and stay for short periods of time. Most of the courses last 3 days, although in the summer we run week-long courses.
Goodness, I didn't realise it was such a big operation.
Oh, yes. Altogether, we have accommodation for about 70 people. When I say accommodation, I don't mean a luxury hotel. What we have are wooden cabins, which contain between 2 and 5 beds, and are very simply furnished, although we do have a few single rooms available. There are common rooms for relaxation, with facilities for making drinks. We also grow all our own food, and meals are served in the centre restaurant. As you might expect, we only serve vegetarian food, no meat whatsoever. We don't allow people to bring meat in with them either. But we have an excellent chef who prepares really imaginative vegetarian food, and I've yet to hear anyone complain. The atmosphere is very relaxed and informal, but we do forbid people to smoke in the buildings.
So if I wanted to do a short course, what kind of thing could I do?
It would depend on your interests. You could do one of our general courses on natural gardening. You'd learn about nature, garden wildlife, herbs, climbing plants, and plants which have particular scents or perfumes. Or you could do one of our more specialised courses on waterless toilets.
Waterless toilets?
That's right. It's our most popular course. There's a big demand for it from countries where there are serious water shortages. We have designed a system which does not require water. It's a dry system. our system helps people use their limited supplies for essential things like washing and drinking, as water is very precious in many parts of the world. Other courses show people how to save forests, birds and animals.
How amazing! It sounds fascinating. Are these courses expensive?
Not really. In order to be fair, we operate a varied price structure which charges people what they can afford. For example, if you're in full-time employment, you pay more than if you're out of work and haven't got a job. And for people who are not able to pay anything at all, we have a fund, which was set up by the centre a few years ago. And this helps us to pay someone's costs, including their travel costs, from home to the centre. So we never turn anyone away, although we can only help a small number of people each year, as we do not make a huge profit.
So, if I want to go on a course, how do I apply?
You need an application form, which you can get by sending a...
That's the end of part two. Now turn to part three. You will hear five different people talking about the importance of modern inventions. For questions 19 to 23, choose from the list, A to F, the reason each speaker gives for the importance of the invention to them personally. Use the letters only once. There is one extra letter which you do not need to use. You now have 30 seconds in which to look at part three.
I used to think television was the most brilliant invention because you could sit in an armchair and have a window on the world. But in the last couple of years, I've changed my mind. For me now, the best thing ever is the mobile phone. I mean, they used to be so heavy and not that attractive to carry around, but now they're tiny and light. I never go anywhere without mine. And you can buy personalised covers and even change the covers to match what you're wearing. Some of my friends are so cool. They dye their hair to match their phones and their watch straps as well. I mean, how amazing is that?
There are so many things that I think I couldn't live without. My mum moans at me because I can't be bothered to cook. But I mean, who needs to cook when there are so many takeaway places? Nor can I imagine life without radio and TV. But if there's one thing that's made a big difference to my life, it's the cash machine. I can relax about getting money and not rush around trying to get to a bank before it closes. I was always running out of cash, but now at any time of day or night, I can turn up at a hole in the wall, put my card in, and magic, there's the money. No hassle.
I know there are all sorts of wonderful inventions, and it's easy to take everything for granted. Like electricity, life as we know it would be impossible without it. I mean, we depend on it for almost everything. But for me personally, it's the car which I think has massively changed people's lives. I know that holidays in space are more or less a reality now, and you can reach any part of the world by plane. But it's the ease of the car, the fact that it offers you such freedom. Like, you wake up in the morning and think, where would I like to go today? And you just do it.
I think some inventions are such fun. All these computer games, I really love them. And the fact that they're handheld is great. They help me relax when I'm feeling stressed and take my mind off whatever's worrying me. Although, I suppose I could live without them if I had to. But there's no way I could live without my email. When we all left school last year, I made sure I had everyone's email address. And that means we all keep in touch and get to meet up with each other. And if we can't meet, then at least we know each other's news and what we're all doing.
I hate being without my electric toothbrush, but I know that's silly because most people use an ordinary toothbrush and never think twice about it. But there is one invention which has really saved my life, and that's my electronic diary. My girlfriend bought me one because she got so fed up with me forgetting arrangements. I've no excuse now for forgetting anything. Even her birthday is programmed into it. They used to be dead expensive, but now they've come down in price, and I use mine all the time.
You'll now hear part three again.
I used to think television was the most brilliant invention because you could sit in an armchair and have a window on the world. But in the last couple of years, I've changed my mind. For me now, the best thing ever is the mobile phone. I mean, they used to be so heavy and not that attractive to carry around, but now they're tiny and light. I never go anywhere without mine. And you can buy personalised covers and even change the covers to match what you're wearing. Some of my friends are so cool. They dye their hair to match their phones and their watch straps as well. I mean, how amazing is that?
There are so many things that I think I couldn't live without. My mum moans at me because I can't be bothered to cook. But I mean, who needs to cook when there are so many takeaway places? Nor can I imagine life without radio and TV. But if there's one thing that's made a big difference to my life, it's the cash machine. I can relax about getting money and not rush around trying to get to a bank before it closes. I was always running out of cash, but now at any time of day or night, I can turn up at a hole in the wall, put my card in, and magic, there's the money. No hassle.
I know there are all sorts of wonderful inventions, and it's easy to take everything for granted. Like electricity, life as we know it would be impossible without it. I mean, we depend on it for almost everything. But for me personally, it's the car which I think has massively changed people's lives. I know that holidays in space are more or less a reality now, and you can reach any part of the world by plane, but it's the ease of the car, the fact that it offers you such freedom. Like, you wake up in the morning and think, where would I like to go today? And you just do it.
I think some inventions are such fun. All these computer games, I really love them. And the fact that they're handheld is great. They help me relax when I'm feeling stressed and take my mind off whatever's worrying me. Although, I suppose I could live without them if I had to. But there's no way I could live without my email. When we all left school last year, I made sure I had everyone's email address. And that means we all keep in touch and get to meet up with each other. And if we can't meet, then at least we know each other's news and what we're all doing.
I hate being without my electric toothbrush. But I know that's silly because most people use an ordinary toothbrush and never think twice about it. But there is one invention which has really saved my life. And that's my electronic diary. My girlfriend bought me one because she got so fed up with me forgetting arrangements. I've no excuse now for forgetting anything. Even her birthday is programmed into it. They used to be dead expensive, but now they've come down in price. And I use mine all the time.
That's the end of part three. Now turn to part four. You will hear a radio interview with a research scientist. For questions 24 to 30, decide which of the statements are true and which are false, and write T for true or F for false in the boxes provided. You now have 45 seconds in which to look at part four.
My guest on today's programme, What's New in Medicine, is Andrew Taylor. Andrew, welcome to the programme. Now, I know there have been some pretty exciting developments recently in your area of work, and one in particular, which is close to your heart,
is the smart pill.
Well, I guess smart pill is just a convenient term for what I think is going to be a pretty important development in medical technology. But what set us off looking at this in the laboratory is the fact that thousands of people each year are admitted to hospital because they have accidentally taken the wrong medicine or the wrong dose of medicine.
How come? Surely it must be quite difficult to do that.
Not really. There are people who perhaps take quite a lot of medicine, tablets and so on, particularly elderly people, and so it's not difficult for them to pick up the wrong bottle or packet without realizing. And then there are people with poor eyesight who can mistake one bottle for another, and for them the risk of taking the wrong medicine is even higher. People are very sensitive, and they worry about getting things wrong and getting into trouble with their doctor.
I see, but it's not their fault.
Of course not. So what we've come up with is a simple system for reading pill labels out loud. And this will be of great benefit to people whose sight is not very good. We've been experimenting with the system, and generally speaking, most people are both amazed and delighted with it.
How does it work?
Well, the system consists of special labels which contain tiny microchips. The microchip contains all the important information about the medicine for that particular patient. Their name, how many to take, if it's pills, and when to take them, such as before or after meals.
What if people are still unsure about something?
Each microchip also has the name and address of their doctor, as well as a phone number which people can ring if they have any questions.
So, what is it that speaks out loud? The label?
No. It's a thing called a reader. When a patient wants to take their medicine, they press a button on a small thing called a reader. You know the things that checkout assistants use in supermarkets which read the barcodes, the labels on whatever you're buying. Well, the readers are like that. The reader sends out a radio signal to the microchip, which returns the information recorded on the label. The reader then speaks this out loud.
Don't some people find that rather scary?
A few, maybe. Admittedly, the voice is electronic, and some people are put off by new technology. But once they get used to the voice, which is quite soft, it doesn't shout at them, they become confident that they are taking the right quantity of medicine, and at the right time. And that's really reassuring. And everyone agrees that without the new technology, they could end up in hospital.
Now rewind the tape and listen to part four again.
Test two. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear people talking in eight different situations. For questions 1 to 8, choose the best answer, A, B, or C. 1. You hear part of a radio program about a sports personality. What has he recently achieved? A. A new sporting record. B. Another gold medal. C. A financial reward.
You can't fail but be impressed by Marco Lynam's latest achievement. At the International Stadium last night, he managed to shave 0.1 seconds off his fastest time yet. I mean, not only does this man already hold 3 gold medals, but last month he was voted Sports Personality of the Year and presented with a handsome check as well as the splendid cup that he gets to keep for the year ahead. You'd have thought that things couldn't have got any better for him, but he's proved all of us wrong. You can't fail but be impressed by Marco Lynam's latest achievement. At the International Stadium last night, he managed to shave 0.1 seconds off his fastest time yet. I mean, not only does this man already hold 3 gold medals, but last month he was voted Sports Personality of the Year and presented with a handsome check as well as the splendid cup that he gets to keep for the year ahead. You'd have thought that things couldn't have got any better for him, but he's proved all of us wrong.
2. You hear a woman asking for a recipe. What does she want to make? A. Something for supper. B. Something for a party. C. Something for a picnic.
Can you let me have that recipe you promised?
Which one? The one for the orange and carrot soup we had last night?
No, I know how to make that. It's quite straightforward. It's the dish we had at Mike's party. It was delicious, do you remember? It had potatoes, peppers and onions in it, and we ate it cold with bread. I thought I'd make it and take it with us when we're out walking this weekend. We always take a packed lunch, and I thought this would be really nice with some salad, and not too heavy to carry. Can you let me have that recipe you promised?
Which one? The one for the orange and carrot soup we had last night?
No, I know how to make that. It's quite straightforward. It's the dish we had at Mike's party. It was delicious, do you remember? It had potatoes, peppers and onions in it, and we ate it cold with bread. I thought I'd make it and take it with us when we're out walking this weekend. We always take a packed lunch, and I thought this would be really nice with some salad, and not too heavy to carry.
3. You hear a man talking about animals. What is he recommending? A. Feeding a pet a balanced diet. B. Giving a pet plenty of exercise. C. Making sure a pet is looked after.
I know that many children are very keen to keep a pet. Some children are happy with a goldfish or a rabbit. Others want a puppy and forget that it'll need exercising each day and they'll have to take it for regular long walks. Obviously, some animals need looking after more than others. Cats are fairly independent creatures and will disappear for long periods at a time, whereas dogs are more home-loving. Don't let your child spoil an animal by overfeeding it. I've seen some kids who think they're being really kind when they give a pet large helpings of food, and then they wonder why the animal is so overweight. I know that many children are very keen to keep a pet. Some children are happy with a goldfish or a rabbit. Others want a puppy and forget that it'll need exercising each day and they'll have to take it for regular long walks. Obviously, some animals need looking after more than others. Cats are fairly independent creatures and will disappear for long periods at a time, whereas dogs are more home-loving. Don't let your child spoil an animal by overfeeding it. I've seen some kids who think they're being really kind when they give a pet large helpings of food, and then they wonder why the animal is so overweight.
4. You hear part of a radio program about travelling abroad. Who is speaking? A. A journalist. B. A tour guide. C. A travel agent.
I'm amazed at the number of people who turn up on the first day and know absolutely nothing about the places they're going to see. I mean, when you think of all the travel programs on the TV and the radio, the information on the internet, all the travel writers who fill columns in the newspapers and magazines throughout the year, these people must have seen a brochure when they booked their holiday, surely. They sit there in the coach and expect me to tell them everything they need to know. I'm amazed at the number of people who turn up on the first day and know absolutely nothing about the places they're going to see. I mean, when you think of all the travel programs on the TV and the radio, the information on the internet, all the travel writers who fill columns in the newspapers and magazines throughout the year, these people must have seen a brochure when they booked their holiday, surely. They sit there in the coach and expect me to tell them everything they need to know.
5. You overhear a student talking about one of her classes. What has she done? A. Missed attending a class. B. Withdrawn from a class. C. Complained about a class.
So at the end, I went up to him to ask him a question, and he says, "Where were you last lesson?" And I say, "I was here. You gave me back my essay." So he looked a bit embarrassed at that, and I say, "I need some extra help before the exams because I missed quite a lot when I was ill last month." And he says, "He's too busy to fit in more lessons. I'll have to ask one of the other students." Well, I'm not going to. It's his job, and I'm not going to take an exam which I know I'm not ready for. So that's it. I'm not going again. I'll take the exam next year instead. So at the end, I went up to him to ask him a question, and he says, "Where were you last lesson?" And I say, "I was here. You gave me back my essay." So he looked a bit embarrassed at that, and I say, "I need some extra help before the exams because I missed quite a lot when I was ill last month." And he says, "He's too busy to fit in more lessons. I'll have to ask one of the other students." Well, I'm not going to. It's his job, and I'm not going to take an exam which I know I'm not ready for. So that's it. I'm not going again. I'll take the exam next year instead.
6. You hear a woman talking about a new book on the theatre. What is the best title for it? A. Popular Street Theatre. B. Travelling Music Theatre. C. Open Air Plays and Players.
Hundreds of years ago, actors wandered from town to town, village to village, putting on plays in very informal surroundings. Sometimes they didn't even bother with costumes, but there was always music. Simple music, probably played on a pipe like our modern-day recorder. For people in those days, these wandering players were a great treat, and any performance was exciting. The plays took place outside, usually in the marketplace or somewhere central, and this book is especially good on the different locations, which could be anything from a wooden platform in the village square to a clearing under a tree. Hundreds of years ago, actors wandered from town to town, village to village, putting on plays in very informal surroundings. Sometimes they didn't even bother with costumes, but there was always music. Simple music, probably played on a pipe like our modern-day recorder. For people in those days, these wandering players were a great treat, and any performance was exciting. The plays took place outside, usually in the marketplace or somewhere central, and this book is especially good on the different locations, which could be anything from a wooden platform in the village square to a clearing under a tree.
7. You overhear two people discussing a museum they have recently visited. What kind of museum was it? A. A costume museum. B. A natural history museum. C. A transport museum.
It was one of the most interesting exhibitions I've ever seen.
I couldn't agree more. I'd no idea people actually wore special clothes.
Well, those early vehicles didn't have a roof, so you had to protect yourself.
Mm.
And those poor people whose job it was to walk in front of the car in all weathers meant they had to be properly dressed too. Even the first buses were open top, and come to think of it, so were the first trains.
Mm. I suppose you must have been able to enjoy the scenery, though, and going so slowly probably meant you had a good view of everything.
It was one of the most interesting exhibitions I've ever seen.
I couldn't agree more. I'd no idea people actually wore special clothes.
Well, those early vehicles didn't have a roof, so you had to protect yourself.
Mm.
And those poor people whose job it was to walk in front of the car in all weathers meant they had to be properly dressed too. Even the first buses were open top, and come to think of it, so were the first trains.
Mm. I suppose you must have been able to enjoy the scenery, though, and going so slowly probably meant you had a good view of everything.
8. You hear a woman talking about a new fashion. What does she like about it? A. The colours. B. The designs. C. The materials.
I love this new season's fashion for little handbags. Mind you, they're pretty useless because you can't put more than a comb inside, so whoever designed them obviously didn't intend them to hold anything. The colours are nice, but what is really attractive are the little glass beads which are sewn into the fabric. There are no real patterns on the bags, just thousands of these little things that sparkle and glitter as you walk. I imagine they're all hand-stitched, which is why even the tiniest bags are quite expensive. I love this new season's fashion for little handbags. Mind you, they're pretty useless because you can't put more than a comb inside, so whoever designed them obviously didn't intend them to hold anything. The colours are nice, but what is really attractive are the little glass beads which are sewn into the fabric. There are no real patterns on the bags, just thousands of these little things that sparkle and glitter as you walk. I imagine they're all hand-stitched, which is why even the tiniest bags are quite expensive.
That's the end of part one. End of side one.